Today's daf was Yuma Daf Ayin Gimel. At the beginning of the daf, the Gemara had made a comment that Rav Dimi had made a comment that Begadim Shekoyin Gadol Meshamish Ben Meshoch Melchama Meshamish Bahen, the same Shemona Begadim that a Kohen Gadol normally wears, is worn by the Meshoach Melchama as well, at least at the time that he's acting with the Urim V'tumim to be asked questions through the Urim V'tumim. He wears the Shemona Begadim of the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara has a couple of questions on this. The Gemara raised the point that we have a brisa that says Meshoach The Meshoach Melchama actually doesn't do anything. He never wears any of the big day kuna. He can't wear the four big day kuna of a Kohen Hadyot because Malim Bekodesh Velo Maridin. You have to go up in the world and not down in the world. So I'm sorry. So he doesn't wear the Dalei Begadim of a Kohen Hadyot, nor does he wear the Shmona Begadim of a Kohen Gadol because of Eva. The Kohen Gadol is going to have animosity toward him. He's always going to be thinking that this guy's looking over his shoulder. So the Gemara says, but you see from there that it's only Mishum Eva, really on a Daraisa level. Rav Dimi is correct that Meshoach Melchama can wear the Shmona Begadim. The Gemara quotes a long Braisa that tells us all of the things that are special about a Kohen Gadol, all of the halachas that only apply to a Kohen Gadol, the karbanos that only a Kohen Gadol can bring, the isurim that a Kohen Gadol has, the marriage restrictions that a Kohen Gadol has, how when a Kohen Gadol dies, the Rotzeh gets out of near Miklat, etc. And it tells us that V'kula Nogos B'Meruba Begadim Chutz Mipara Baal Kala Mitzvos. All of these halachos apply to a Kohen Gadol who assumes his position not with the Shemana Mishcha but by wearing the Shemana Begadim, except for the karban that's brought by a Kohen Gadol who paskins incorrectly about a Chiyuv Kares and violates the halacha based on his incorrect psak, where a Kohen Gadol brings a par as a karban, but that's only if he was Mashuach B'Shemana Mishcha, not if he was a Meruba Begadim, not if he only became Kohen Gadol by wearing the Shemana Begadim. And the Gemara goes on to say that v'kula noagos b'meshuach sha'avar chutz mipar yom ha'kipurim v'asiras ha'eifa. All of the halachas of Kohen Gadol apply to a former Kohen Gadol as well, except for the daily carbon mincha that a Kohen Gadol brings, and except for the special par that a Kohen Gadol brings on Yom Kippur. And nogea to our discussion about a Meshoach Melchama, v'kulan eino hagos Meshoach Melchama, chutz mi'chamish dvarim ha'amurim v'parsha. None of the halachas of a Kohen Gadol apply to Meshoach Melchama, except for a very limited sampling of five halachas that are mentioned in the parsha. So that's that long brisa about the status of a Kohen Gadol and who does and who does not have the status of a Kohen Gadol. The whole rest of the Perek, the rest of the Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, discusses the Urim V'tumim and exactly how it would work when they would ask of the Urim V'tumim. The person asking the question would face Klapei Nishal, would face the person who is being asked, who's wearing the Kohen Gadol is wearing the Choshen, and Vanishal Panav Klapei Shechina. The one who's being asked faces the Shechina, which it's Machlokes Rishonim, exactly what that means, exactly where he's facing, but he faces the Shechina. The halach is Ein Shaol in Bekol. When we're Shaol from the Urim V'tumim, we don't do it too loudly, nor is it just something we say in our hearts. It's something that's said in a very low voice, similar to the way Chana was mispalel in the Mishkan when Eli saw her. Ein shol in shnei dvarim ke'echad. The halacha is also we can only ask the Urim V'tumim one question at a time, and if we ask two questions, we're only going to get an answer on the first question. The Gemara tells us why it's called Urim V'tumim. Urim shemi'irin es devrayim, tumim shemashlimin es devrayim. It's called Urim because it explains everything exactly what you're supposed to do, and it's called tumim because mashlimin es devrayim because whatever it says is going to happen. There's no going back on it. It's not like a navi where if a navi says something negative and then people do tshuva, the negative thing doesn't have to happen. By Urim V'tumim, if it says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. There's no backing out. Ketzad Nasis, the Gemara says, how exactly do we receive the message? So it's Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan says the letters protrude. Reish Lakish says that the letters actually jump together and form words so that we can read what it actually says. But nevertheless, Siyue have a Messiah Badayu. We need someone with Ruach HaKodesh to interpret whatever it is that the Urim V'tumim is trying to tell us. The person with Ruach HaKodesh has to either unscramble the letters or decipher the message in one way or another. Then we began the eighth parak we read the Mishnah. The Mishnah goes through the five inuyim, the five things that you're not allowed to do in Yom Kippur: eating and drinking, bathing, anointing with oils and creams, putting on leather shoes, marital relations, tashma shamita. The Gemara says the shir of achila by the Mishnah says rather the shir of achila by Yom Kippur is different than it is by other isuri achila. Is the shir is the size of a date, not the size of a zayas. It's a date including the size of the pit. All different types of foods are mitzdarif with each other to equal that shir, but ha'ochel v'ashosa ain't mitzdarfin. Food and drink aren't mitzdarif together. That's why when a person is sick in Yom Kippur and they have to have pachas mikshir, they can have a chatzi shir of food and a chatzi shir of drink, because they're not mitzdarif with each other to equal an entire shir. The shir of drinking is mlo lugmav, is a cheekful. Okay.